Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Pastor Steph, how are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh, we started off last week shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew, and we talked about a situation where a, what do you call this thing here, a mentor, if you will, took a child to a gym, and because they thought that the child was too heavy, he put him on a treadmill. Yes, a six-year-old. And unfortunately, because of the abuse of power, and the child continued to be put on the treadmill and got injured, he ended up succumbing to his injuries. And it prompted us to have the conversation, what questions do you ask or should you ask your mentors, your potential mentors of your children? And, oh, we had some excellent, excellent questions. But not only did we have some good questions, we had some good answers. So I think you need to go and listen to some of the questions that need to be asked, and maybe you're missing some things, maybe you're right on target, maybe, you know, you're somewhere in between, but I promise you, after you listen to this conversation, you will definitely be on the right track going forward, okay? All righty. Well, we had our switch tip from Shantice. Switch tip number 186, stay confident in what God has told you. And wow, you know, if we use this particular scenario, then, you know, we'll understand that whatever God gives you to talk to people about, questions to ask, don't be leery. No, you know, I've seen where, you know, God has told you to go full-fledged ahead with something, and you're kind of hesitant for one reason or another. I mean, this happens all the time. For one reason or another, you're kind of hesitant because, you know, you don't want to offend somebody. You don't want to push. And no, stay confident in what God has given you. What God has given you is what God has given you. And people may not understand why you take the stance that you take. But let me tell you something. when God has given you something for you, nobody else is going to understand it like you. And I'm believing that some people may not even understand it themselves. You know, that's one of the reasons why you don't stay confident, because you're looking at the way other people respond to you. You're looking at, you know, the way other people are either agreeing with you or not agreeing with you. And, you know, No, I just recently had an incident, and I just had to stand my ground, and it didn't make for the greatest conversation. But you know what? I had to stand my ground. So just stay confident in what God gives you. You will not go wrong. I promise you, okay? All righty. Let's talk about it. Tuesday, Church Folk Day rolled around, and we talked about the gunman who was arrested after trying to shoot a pastor out in Pennsylvania, and it sparked the conversation. Do we need, or should we have, metal detectors or wands or magnometers, as they are sometimes called, you know, should we have those in the church, at the church, before you go into the church? Well, we had a mixed panel. We had a panel member that said, absolutely, make sure you get those items you need. We had another panel member say, no. Know what is the, you know, what is the church going to think? What are the people going to think? And then we had a panel member that said, I'm kind of lost. You know, I'm kind of standing in the middle. I, you know, initially thought, nah. And then now, after seeing what people are really faced with, I'm kind of thinking that, you know what, it just might be needed. So, you know, my stance, do what's needed and what God is calling you to do for your church if you are a leader. You know, there will be some leaders that will be attacked, and no matter what, you will not be able to get them to put any magnometers or bring any wands to the church. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. You know, you'll have those who say, listen, somebody tried to shoot me. We need to stop this thing at the door. And I'm not mad at you. You know, let God deal with the individual and that congregation. All right? All righty. Well, Wednesday. Wow, Wednesday rolls around. And we got to talking with our girlfriend Vivian, and she gave us the socially conscious segment. And one of the things she talked about was the fact that the Bronx has opened up the first domestic violence shelter that welcomes the family's pet. Yes, those families who have pets who are in this domestic violence situation, along with them, they are now allowed to bring their pets with them. So the Bronx, I'm not surprised that they're the first one who took the leap. And, you know, we had a, you know, mixed panel on that. So it was a really interesting conversation to be had. We talked about the fact of a grandpa who was arrested after giving his granddaughter, who he was left with. He put his granddaughter in the care of a homeless woman for $20 in order to go and sit on the bar stool. Yes, that was more important at the time than to just keep his eye on the granddaughter. And, you know, we say, you know, God is not always looking out, you know, or, you know, where is God? Well, I'm not too sure God wasn't a part of this here situation. So I'm going to send you back to go and listen so you can see what exactly I'm talking about. All right. Might make a little more sense when you go back and listen. All right. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around and we got to talking to the Due Time crew about four different types of men that women are attracted to and what that says about her. Why is she attracted to this dysfunctional individual? Well, I gotta say, it was very interesting to hear what the panel thought and then weigh it out and listen to what the psychotherapists and the psychologists and counselors thought of the woman who dated him. So it was a discrepancy in a few, you know, instances. And it was quite interesting, you know, what we see and what we know and what we've experienced based on what the people who are in these chairs assessing other people believe that it actually is. So, you know what? We're coming back to that conversation. Maybe this Thursday, God spares. Well, Freestyle Friday rolled around and we had our men in the house and we talked about quite a few different things, quite a few celebrity issues. But one of the things we talked about was the fact that Diddy has been nominated for 3 BET Awards. Despite the fact that he's got a plethora, a litany, a disgusting amount of, let's say, domestic violence issues on the table, sex abuse allegations on the table. Oh, yeah, crime, like criminal actions, you know, on the table as accusations. And how are we even here? How do we even get approval to be a part of this process? Because once BET received this or these nominations, they should automatically shut this thing down. Yeah, the caption should have been reading, Diddy was nominated for 3 BET Awards, and they said absolutely not. Yeah, well, that's not what it says. It says he's moving up in the ranks. He just went through the first level. So we'll see. We will see. Maybe by the time this Friday comes up, God spares, we'll have a different headline. All right? Well, that's how we spent last week. So it was pretty exciting over here on this Due Time. Well, last night, the Word Prayer Project Room was open. And man, we didn't have a specific topic. It was open. Anything and everything you wanted to pray about. And oh, wow, when I tell you that it was something else. It was something else. Yes, it was good. The prayer requests, as always, were really, really hitting on some things. And we talked about why we should pray and what the Bible says about prayer. And it was just refreshing. Very refreshing. So I even invite you to go back and listen to the prayer. Might cover something that you're concerned about. may help to put some words and some thought in your head. Always good to go back and listen to prayer. Ah, so that's how we started this week. Well, this morning, we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Yeah. So no matter what you got going on, know that you can get rid of that. You can get rid of that. The day is just beginning, and God does not want us to start the day any other way but looking to him from whence cometh our help. So that right there will help you shake the Monday morning blues. Okay? All right. Well, we're about to get this party started. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
I'm Joe Flacco, quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. I'm also a proud supporter of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. My niece Chelsea was born with cystic fibrosis. CF is a rare disease that shortens lives. The CF Foundation is making great progress towards a cure, but we're not in the end zone yet. We still lose young people to CF every day. I want Chelsea and all people with CF to live long and full lives. Join a team that saves lives. Support the search for a cure today.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Yeah, we are. Now, you know, I gave a recap of last week. And one of the things I forgot to tell you about is Friday night. Yeah, last Friday night was the second Friday of the month. Now, if you enjoy Shantice and Vivian here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, then you're really going to enjoy them in their own show. Yes, my girls got their own show. It's called With All Due Respect with Shantice and V. Yeah, V stands for Vivian. Yeah, I guess she didn't like the way and Shantice and Vivian sounded. It's a little too long. I don't know. All I know is when they gave the name, that was the name. But I got to tell you, they are raw and they are actual and they are factual. Yeah, they don't play. They don't play. They approach matters straight ahead, straight on, just like our young people do today. The millennials are running the show with, you know, It's All Due Respect. And I really enjoy just sitting back and watching them do their thing. Yeah. They are really good. They are really good. So if you enjoy them, you know, with Shantice giving the switch tip, with Shantice giving the pray for them, Vivian doing the socially conscious segment on Wednesday mornings, and then, you know, she joins us for a round table these last couple months, and she's now been a part of the round table on Thursday mornings, then you're going to really enjoy her. And Shantice, you're really going to enjoy them. They're funny, too. I don't know where they get the stuff they get. You know, they have two segments. One is called What Are the Streets Saying? And the other segment is, oh, they're going to kill me. What is she saying? And get rid of that. And, man, the stuff they come up with, I'm like, where do they get this stuff from? And they are hilarious in their presentation. So I'm sure you're going to really enjoy them. Now, where can you find them? On the A Closer Walk Christian Talk Show YouTube page. Yeah, and, you know, you'll see them quite a bit on this YouTube page because they are also a part of I See What You're Doing with Pastor Steph. And, you know, we hit the event line and we've covered a few events where we're interviewing the participants, you know, at the event, when we do award shows, we're interviewing honorees and award recipients and all, you know, different people, just the regular attendees, and it is really a lot of fun. Oh, speaking of which, I got to come back to that one. Boy, I'm full of news this morning. And so you get to see them do interviews. They do live interviews, and they're really good. You know, as always, we're unscripted. Yeah, this group, you know, the Due Time crew that you see, Lady Tamika and Pastor KL and Pastor Vinny and Brother Al and Brother Ainsley and Elder Natisha, you know, everybody's unscripted. You know, this stuff is all off the dome, and that's the way we do the interviews. And they are phenomenal. They are phenomenal. They are live on the YouTube page as well as their Facebook page, With All Due Respect with Shantice and V. So make sure you catch them because you're really going to enjoy them, okay? Now, moving on to another piece of news. Let's say congratulations to our brother Al, who has been called back. He's been asked to come back to do the Sitters, to cover the Sitter Awards. He will be hosting the Sitter Awards. He did for 2023, which was the 7th annual Sitter Awards. And he was co-hosting with our girl Lil Nat. And he has been invited back. He did a phenomenal job. Y'all have got to go. If y'all love Brother Al on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, you're going to love Brother Al on the our YouTube page, the 7th Annual Sitter Awards. We covered, remember I just got finished talking about we cover events? We covered those events. We covered that event. Brother Al was hilarious. You know, Shantice added some snippets of his on-stage antics, not just his interview, but his on-stage antics. He is also a part of our blooper reel. And oh my goodness, he was hilarious. He could not get the drop. Yes, well, he wasn't alone because a whole lot of people needed a few runs to get the drop. But, you know, the people here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, they're doing the thing. Yeah, they're not just, you know, here. They're doing some other stuff. And he's a part of that as well. So I wanted to give him a shout out as he shared that news with me on Friday. And I'm very, very proud of him. And he is definitely, definitely worthy of giving the Sitters a second round. And I would say leave them there for a couple years. Brother Al was a part of the Tiffany Gospel Awards back in the day. Yes. So when I tell you, I've known Brother Al for a minute. That was back, the last time we did the Tiffany Gospel Awards was back in 2007. Yes, almost 20 years ago. And he had done 2 years with us. So, you know, he co-hosted back then, and he's doing his co-hosting thing now. And so, listen, just be prepared. I believe this year's Sinners is September 28th. So, that's our people. Shantice and V, with all due respect, with Shantice and V, again, a Closer Walk Christian Talk Show YouTube page. They can be seen on their own Facebook page, with all due respect, with Shantice and V, as well as on Coach for Christian Life page, I understand, Facebook page. And Brother Al is not only, you know, on here, but, you know, you might be able to catch him not only hosting the Sitter Awards, but maybe some other stuff. So check out his Facebook page, Al Bynum. All right? All right. So what are we talking about this morning? Well, let's get that health tip that's going to run into our news time, but it's okay. They say there are four proteins that clog or could clog your arteries and could possibly lead to heart disease. So when I saw this one, this was sent by one of our loyal listeners, as Vivian always says. So thank you, and a shout out to our girl, Ketty, you know, who sends me all, oh my goodness gracious, all I hear is bing, 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 bing. She sends me everything that she gets that she thinks is, you know, worth talking about. So this was one she sent to me. And when I saw it, I was like, ooh, we got to let our people know about this. So the four proteins that could possibly clog your arteries and lead to heart disease. Red meat. Red meat. They say regular consumption of high fat cuts of red meat can elevate bad cholesterol and triglyceride levels, contributing to arterial plaque accumulation. Okay? They say to mitigate this risk, opt for leaner cuts or grass-fed versions of red meat. Now, I got to tell y'all, I ain't the one to be, if I'm going to eat meat, I'm going to eat meat. If I'm not, I'm not. I ain't getting no grass-fed version of nothing. I either want the meat or I don't want the meat. And remember, regular consumption. Now, here's the thing about regular consumption. Regular consumption could be different for my body than regular consumption for your body. Yeah, you know, you don't know what your body can handle until it's too much or not enough. So make sure you gauge properly. So eat it in moderation. And, you know, maybe we don't eat a lot of red meat in my house. We haven't eaten a lot of red meat in a long time. We eat a lot of chicken and turkey. And I love fish, so, and I'm not getting as much fish as I'd like to these days, but definitely red meat is not on the table very often. So when we get it, we love it. But remember, you know, think about your health. You know, you want to eat to live. You don't want to live to eat, okay? Number two, what other protein? Well, they say the full-fat dairy products, products like whole milk, cheese, and butter contain high levels of saturated fat, which can elevate cholesterol levels. And they say it can promote arterial plaque formation. Substituting these with low-fat or non-dairy alternatives like almond or oat milk can offer a heart-healthier option without sacrificing taste. Now, as I'm given this particular point from this list, I gotta tell you that look up almond milk. I just got finished hearing that there's some stuff that you may want to know about your almond milk. And yeah, I don't know if oat milk may be a good alternative for you if you don't like what you read. I just got finished hearing something about the regular cow milk, and I was like, ah, you're killing me. I don't know. Just do your research. That's all I'm saying. Do your diligence. Do your due diligence and do your research. All right? Number three, proteins. We're talking about proteins that could possibly send you to the hospital. No, seriously. Some proteins that can actually be harmful to you, clog your arteries, and can lead to heart disease. Well, number three, processed meats. Now, we all love our processed meats one way or another, but they say processed meats have a high content of saturated fats, sodium, and preservatives, contributing to arterial plaque and exacerbating existing heart issues. Okay? Instead, they say they advise us to opt for unprocessed lean meats or explore plant-based protein alternatives for a heart-healthy diet. And again, this is why I say you don't know your body. See how they said exacerbate existing heart issues? Heart issues that you don't even know, you may not even know you have. Yeah. So that's why I said you don't know your body necessarily. You may not be up and aware of what's going on, you know, with your body. So you don't want to add to it if you don't have to. All righty? And number four, fried meats. Now, this one is killing me. Fried chicken, corn dogs, and more are major red flags when it comes to heart health because they're cooked in unhealthy oils. The doctors warn us that these oils can promote cholesterol buildup in arteries when consumed excessively. So, to mitigate this risk, they recommend alternative cooking methods such as air frying or baking to enjoy our favorite foods without compromising our cardiovascular health. I was going to say two words at the same time. All right? So we definitely need to protect ourselves by eating better. Okay? All righty. What are we talking about this morning? What's the news? What's the news? Well, our friendly racist individuals are at it again, and this time they're targeting LeBron James. Yeah. Interesting story here. They say, a poster went up, and it has a very unflattering message. And they say that a New Hartford Central School District, K-12, held its art show, this annual art show, for students. And one poster, they say, advertised for a fake cereal. The brand name was Monkey Premium. And it featured a picture of LeBron James front and sent them. And the poster read, "Eat monkeys, jump like monkeys." Alongside a photo of LeBron James going up for a dunk. And I tell you, you know, we are never going to stop getting smashed with this, you know, racism. They just not going to stop. That's what they feel. They're going to show one way or another that that's how they feel. And I'm interested in this K-12 concept. And here's why I say that. Because this is school, young school. So if this was anywhere from, let's say, 10th grade down, what parent didn't see this, you know, this poster? Because generally, when you're in younger ages, they help you prepare your projects. And considering that this was their annual art show, this is a big thing, I'm sure. So what parent helped this child prepare this poster and thought it was okay to submit something like this? So this also goes to show us that racism is taught. It is not something you're born with. No, you're just not going to wake up today and just hate the opposite, you know, or other races. That's just not going to happen. Because kids are kids. Kids just want to play. They may be mean at times and may point out some differences or some deficiencies, like you got a cross eye or, you know, bow leg or something like that. You know, kids can be pretty mean. But on a grand scale, kids just want to play. And, you know, thanks to these parents or these guardians or whoever it is. And not only that, my thing is, y'all don't screen this stuff before you put it out. So you just walk off and just leave the easels available for you to put your project on. There's not a teacher or somebody who goes through and just looks at what's being submitted. Yeah, so this is what's going down in the, you know, world of racism. Let's see who else and what else we're talking about. All righty. I got another conversation that I have been, you know, looking to have for quite some time. And I don't know if we talked about this before, because this has been going on for a minute. And I think we talked about it in the planning stage. I don't remember us talking about it in its launching stage. But they're saying a recent recipient, or the first recipient, let's change that, the first recipient of a genetically modified pig kidney transplant has died nearly 2 months after he underwent the procedure. And this may be the first time we've done the pig kidney transplant, but there's some other transplants that have gone on. They say previously pig kidneys had been temporarily transplanted into brain dead donors. Two men had received these heart transplants from kids, and they both died within months. And they're going to continue this process because they're hoping that just one day that it'll work. Now, they say that this particular man had a kidney transplant at the hospital in 2018, but he had to go back on dialysis last year when it showed signs of failure. Now, that's a human kidney. So when dialysis complications came up, they suggested he get a pig kidney transplant. Now, I'm sorry. Call me crazy. But I would like to think that if a human transplant didn't work, why would a pig's transplant work? Oh, I can't. Well, they're talking about this xenotransplantation process, and that refers to healing human patients with cells, tissues, or organs from animals. They say such efforts long failed because the human immune system immediately destroyed foreign animal tissue. Recent attempts have involved pigs that have been modified so their organs are more human-like. So not only are you trying to get the natural pig's organ to work, you are now modifying the kidney to be more human. That's you, not God. Stop. Stop. So you think you're going to take any animal, forget about which animal it is, you're going to take this pig's organ, you're going to doll it up to make it like a human being's? Goodness gracious. Okay, so here's the other problem that I'm having, which is one of the first things that came to my mind. When you check biblical, what the Bible says, in Leviticus 11, we're not even supposed to eat the pig. But you think it's fine to replace my organs with a pig? If the Bible is telling me that the pig is unclean to eat, I'm sorry, I'm not sold on the fact that that pig's organ is going to work in Stephanie's body. Do you realize that when they are doing grafting and, you know, stuff on your own body, when they take a piece of your body from here and put it there, do you realize that your body can reject your body? Yes. And I found that out when I had a graft. Yeah, they took from my thigh and they put it on my stomach. And the surgeon was excited. I'm like, well, what's the big deal? And come to find out, they said, because being that the initial skin didn't come from my abdomen, that my abdomen area could actually reject. So if we are, if our own bodies are rejecting things from our body, why do we think that we can take an animal's organ, put it in our body, and it's going to work? And here's the thing. It ain't even working for long. No, not one of these times it's even lasted long. So the first guy, the one we're talking about, they told him that the pig kidney would last for at least 2 years. All right, let me go back. Let me verify this thing. Nearly 2 months after he got the transplant, he died. Then the other two individuals who underwent, remember they said they put those two, they put it in the brain dead donors, they died within months. So I don't know, you know, you're telling these people, and I'm sorry. Talk about me. How stupid are you? You can't be that desperate. I'm going to be honest. My body would probably blow up. I'm sorry. I'm not convinced. And these surgeons will tell you anything to push their agenda. Yo, of course they're going to tell you, oh, you got 2 more years on this. How in the world you got 2 more years, according to them, and in 2 months? And you, they say, they're saying he was the first. So how would you know? How would you know it's going to be 2 years? Oh, I can't. Listen, don't believe the hype. That's why you need Jesus. Because if you had Jesus, you would automatically know that this ain't going to work. It's not for us. Listen, the Jehovah Witness don't even want to accept blood. Clean, unclean. You know they ain't going for the animal. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Let me see. I'm getting some messages here. Let me see if I got a message here. Oh, somebody said, but we're not even supposed to eat the pig. Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. What else are we talking about this morning? Because I'm about to turn over this mic to the Due Time crew because I'm already worn out. What else are we talking about? Let's see. Oh, talk about nasty. Talk about hateful. So where did this take place? Where did this take place? Oh, they're not really saying. Okay, 18 years old. So an 18-year-old was out and about and somehow or another got into an altercation with a woman. Now, she was with her 4-year-old daughter. Oh, this is in New Hampshire. And they... the little girl had to go to the bathroom, so she took her daughter and was helping her use the bathroom in a porta potty. This individual decides to push and turn over the porta potty from the back. So when he pushes the porta potty over, it lands on the door. So not only are they stuck, but do I have to say the rest of it? Well, for the rest of you who didn't get it, that means that all of the waste that came out, that's sitting in the porta potty, came out of the porta potty. Now, thank God that they were not physically injured, but I'm sorry. If I'm in a porta potty that turned over, I am physically, mentally, and emotionally injured. Oh, my goodness. How hateful can you be? I'd rather you just go ahead and kill me. Lord have mercy. That the amount of hate that exists in this world is amazing. When I tell you the enemy is having a ball, he is having an outright ball. He is really helping us destroy one another. Yeah. Yeah, just... this is hatred. This is hatred. This is evil. They say that they don't know what the real altercation was, but they got into some verbal dispute, some argument, and that's what he did. Well, they did arrest him, and let me see what they charged him with. Because I thought it was some interesting charges here when I read it last night. He faces charges of criminal restraint, criminal mischief, and simple assault on a police officer. And he got the assault charge on the police officer because when the cops showed up, he threw something at the cops. So that's what they're charging him for. So I'm sorry. Criminal mischief? Nah, this is bigger than mischief to Stephanie. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but this is criminal mischief times 30 to me, because you don't know what happened to these two individuals based on the fact that they have been exposed to such nastiness. Where's my girl, Tamika? Let's get to talking. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. I almost didn't even want to sing that song this morning.
I am well, thank you. How are you this morning?
I was doing good until that last story.
Girl, it just don't stop. It just don't stop. We're talking about this first article where there's the racist poster that surfaces at the New Hartford Central School District, their annual K-12 art show for students. So there is no thought that there is an adult submission here. And it has a fake cereal brand name Monkey Premium. And it shows a picture of, right beside it, of LeBron James doing a, you know, performing a dunk. Eat monkeys, jump like monkeys. What's your say?
You know, I just get so tired of different displays of someone else's hatred, you know, throughout life. You know, there's somebody, you know, that has something to say. You don't know me. You don't know anything about me, you know. And we're talking about our babies. They just pretty much got out of the womb, and this is what you display, you know. And, again, you know, I want to know who allowed this to go through. So it wasn't just the parent that helped the child get this through. Somebody in the establishment okayed it and thought that it was fine enough for it to be displayed in front of everybody. You know, I was looking at, I remember one of the broadcasts that we did, that there was a display and they were questioning it because it looked like a man's anatomy, you know, and that was questionable, you know, and so who allows this to go through and thinks that it's okay for it to even be displayable, you know? I mean, I just don't understand, you know, aren't there checks and balances? And if there are checks and balances, who missed them off?
Yeah, because somebody let this go through. Yeah, they missed it all right, Tamika. They missed it on purpose, because that was my thought. I'm like, okay, you just not going to work on no, you in K-12. You're not going to work on a project and then carry it out the door and nobody sees it. It's not going up for display and nobody sees it. Somebody's going to have their eyes on it. I tell you. What's our next piece of conversation here? All right. This genetically modified pig kidney transplant. Girl, when are they going to stop? What do you think about them doing this kidney transplant that is coming from your local pig or your local animal, any kind of animal?
We're forever trying to, you know, come up with ways, if you will, to be God. You know, God has given us what we need in our bodies. Also taught us how to maintain our vessels. And, you know, this is my thing of what I feel that man tries to duplicate. You can't create. That's impossible. That's God-given. And so, you know, as we're seeing, you know, you're always trying to, things like one-up God. Oh, I could do this. As you can see, you try to do it and you botched it up. And, you know, lives are now taken because you think that you can do what God can do. You can't. It's impossible.
But they're not going to stop trying. All right. And our last story about this teen, 18 years old, He's 18 years old, just simply 18 years old, and he gets into an argument with a woman. He watches her go into the porta potty with her daughter to help her daughter, you know, use the bathroom, and he pushes the porta potty over from the back, which locks her in there with the little girl and all of the contents of the porta potty. You know my question. What kind of time should we be getting? Because I'm sorry, this is criminalistic.
You know the germaphobe in me. Every spot of my hair, within, outside, everything that God has created is standing on ends right now. Just thinking of, you know, first of all, I have this phobia. I don't care. Call it whatever you want. I hold it for days before I have to go into a porta potty.
Yes.
It was kind of funny. I went to a birthday celebration and they had one outside, and I kept saying to myself, I agonized. I promise you, I agonized over it. But it was actually very clean and very presentable. But I literally held it until I couldn't hold it anymore because of the phobia that I have about a porta potty. You talking about taking that porta potty and sitting in it on its front, so it's not just that it's leaking. I can't get out. You know, so if you think about a porta potty and the way that it's set up, if the bowl is behind you and now the bowl is now on its side, turn that cup on its side. So now she's laying face down. I'm sorry, I had to get the visualization because I'm cringing here. And so, you know, you got blue water, you got yellow water, and you got, need I say more? It's in your clothes. It's probably in your face, your hair.
Oh my God.
Woo, I can't even think of how many years. I mean, is there a life sentence after life and sentence again? Because that's the way that I feel right now. So when you die and you go to wherever you go, and there's another life sentence waiting for you. That's my guess.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes, girl. Yes, girl. That's my take on that. Yes. That's all I thought about. I was like, Lord, I don't even want to use one until I absolutely, like you, have to. And now you telling me that now, oh my gosh, it's just kill me, why don't you? I got a, Shantice is hollering, just kill me. Oh gosh.
That's my girl.
That's 3 for 3, just kill me. Oh my goodness, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's talk to our brother Al and see what he's got to say about the goings on this Monday morning. Good morning, brother Al.
Top of the morning. I took off from work today because I got some business to take care. No kids. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm loving it, brother Al. Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
So we've got this art display for this art festival that they I'm calling it a festival, this art show that this school district has. And they got LeBron James up here. Monkey. Eat monkeys, jump like monkeys, and LeBron James holding down a slam dunk. What you think?
Man, I said it before, and I'll say it again. Racism is something that is taught. You know, that kid was taught that and taught that it was okay. You know, and that would make me so angry with our people. We don't stick together. You know, any other race, oh, it would have been marches, all types of stuff, you know. And it's just so sad that, you know, I just feel that our race is on a low pole. Because, you know, we don't do anything. We beef, we fight amongst each other. And then when other people see this, they feel it's, oh, okay, well, we can join in. We can call them names. We can do this and we can do that. You know, it's, it's so, so sad. You know, then for you to even think that was okay to do. You know, yeah, let's go ahead and display it. So what? We might hear a couple of beef about it. Whatever, let's go. You know, just the disrespect is just crazy.
Absolutely, Brother Al, absolutely. Oh, we talking about this pig kidney transplant. What do you think about them trying to replace, you know, okay, so you're not on the donor's list. You're on a donor's list, I'm sorry. You're on a donor's list for a kidney. And we all know that when you get on these donor lists, these lists are long because you have to be perfectly matched with the donor. You can't just take any kidney. You got to be perfectly matched with a donor. And this particular man had a human kidney in him that didn't work. His body naturally rejected it. And they thought that this was great to put in a pig kidney. And, you know, it should have lasted, according to them, 2 years. And yet it lasted less than 2 months. What are we talking about here?
Wow, you know, them just trying to find another way to help somebody. You know, I look at it as a few ways. You know, I look at it as a kind of a good intention in a way. You know, they wanted to try to help this man. You know, it wasn't like they was like, you know, just do it. You know, like, okay, this man is on this list. He's dying. You know what? This may work. You know, so I kind of look at it that way too. And then I look at it like, you know, God didn't put it that way either. You know what I mean? Like animal parts are they parts and our parts are our parts. You know, so, but, you know, I see the attention that they was trying, you know, but again, they need to do some more studying to see how can we, is there any way we can repair the kidney? You can't make another kidney. We already know that. So, okay, how can, is there some medicine, something we can do to help repair the kidney? That's what I think they should be researching on more. Because, again, like I said, the part don't belong in us, so that's why you have animals and you have humans.
So, Brother Al, I'd really like to think that after all these centuries, they didn't realize that they've already realized that you can't repair a kidney. Once a kidney is damaged, it's only going downhill. It is very, very, very rare.
Yeah.
Coming from a parent who had kidney issues, once a kidney is damaged, dialysis is what they can do. And when it gets to be too bad, you have to go on a list to hopefully get a kidney. And it is a very risky thing because your body can easily reject the kidney. Even though they've done all of the, quote, let's say, pairing, you know, they've checked this, they've checked that, and you seem to be a perfect donor, just like what happened with this man. It can reject it, and his body rejected the human kidney. So, you know, pretty much when you're on a kidney transplant list, ain't much else they're going to be able to do for that little kidney. Once some kidneys are gone, them kidneys are gone. It ain't nothing really that can be done. So I don't know about you know, that part of it. But
– Well, I think they should promote health, you know, health on the kidney, you know, like the prevention, like – I know what you're saying because the guy that's over here across the street from me, he's on a list, you know, and I think they need to promote more about, okay, you know what, flush your kidney at times, you know, detox your kidney, you know, promoting prevention, you know, that I think that's a big thing that they need to do.
All righty. Well, let's talk about the porta potty incident and this 18-year-old who was so mean that he flipped the porta potty over with the two individuals in it. My question, y'all know how I go, how much time we getting, because there ain't much conversation about whether you guilty or not or how nasty this is. And the fact of the matter is you could just probably put a gun to down somebody's head. That would be safer. What are you saying? What kind of time we getting here, Brother Al?
Well, after throwing up after I heard the story, well, there's a couple of things in this. I heard you mention about so much hatred and meanness in the world. It's just, just hearing all these stories from the jump is just like, wow, this is insane. And, one of the biggest issues, every time I hear a story or a crazy story about something, it's these young kids, because they get away with so much. They're in the school, they curse out the teachers, they fight the teachers, and there's no consequence. So they feel, hey, I can argue. A child will argue with an adult in a heartbeat, and it's just ridiculous. And they feel, okay, that's just something I can do. And then with the situation, you might as well charge him for murder, because if I'd have been in there and he'd have turned the thing around and just died right there. The door's locked, all this stuff on me. Lord, take me now. I'm ready now. Oh, Lord, I commend my spirit in your hand. So charge him for murder with that. But, they need to take it back, like how they got over, like, Pakistan and Iraq and all of this. A two for two for an eye for an eye. So you want to push parties on people, huh? All right, lock them in there. Get them in there. All right, y'all fellas, turn it over. How'd you like that, huh? How you like that? It's like I can't think of a amount of time he should get. Because every time they get close to getting out, I'll be like, no, he need more time. So
this is steep. This is steep, Brother Al. Everybody thinks
put him in the porta potty and let Big Bubba push him over. All right, Bubba, push the party over.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you for joining us this morning, Brother Al. Let's see what our Pastor KL has to say this morning. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. You sound bright out of bushy tail. Bright out of bushy tail this morning. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm here. I'm doing well, thank you.
That's good. So what are you saying about this whole post, the Eat Monkeys, Jump Like Monkeys, with the picture of LeBron James doing a slam dunk? How are we handling this here?
Well, I mean, first of all, it stems, as everybody was saying, it stems from the parents. Because, you don't even know what a monkey is yet. So now to relate the monkey to us, that has to be some type of conversation going on into your house, that we are monkeys. You know what I mean? Because when you go to the zoo, you don't equate that as a child to black folks unless someone's saying that. And then to be able to go ahead and construct such a picture with that tone and take it to school, it's like, when you send out an email, do you not proofread this thing? So there's no one to proofread before we post it up. I mean, because again, he or she or the teacher is the brand of the school. So now you're representing the school, and no one says, hey, we better look at little Johnny's stuff because his mama. And understand, people know your mother and father. They know the mother that's going to come and flip as soon as you call them about their child. They know the mother and father who's racist. They know them. So if you know their mother and father is crazy, he'd be the first paper I look at.
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense, Pastor KL. All right. We're talking about this pig kidney transplant, and the fact that the doctors have sold this family on, hey, this your last 2 years. Brother Al says, they meant well, and, they need to do a little more research. What do you think?
Well, I'm a little different. First of all, for me, if this is only an if I get on a list, I'm not getting on a list for a pork piece, a piece of pork chop. I want a human to go back in me. I don't want to walk around and smell like pig all day. I just don't want to do that. Not only that, let's look at it from a spiritual aspect. We all, even as old people say, tomorrow is not promised. So if tomorrow is not promised, how are you human in the flesh can promise me that this will last 2 years when very tomorrow is not promised? Mm. No, you can miss me with all that.
Mm. All right. All right. Well, the porta potty bandit has, you know, he struck the woman and her child. I just want to know what kind of time we get, because this is Criminal Act 101.
You know, you have vehicular manslaughter. You have all. Now we got porta potty manslaughter. You need to go to jail. You need to go to jail for forever and ever and ever. And your job is just to clean the toilet. Everywhere you go, in every cell, you are the poop cleaner. How about that? I can't say what I want to say, but you're the poop cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be what you do for the rest of your life. And I need it to shine.
Scooper, scooper.
I want to see the dimples in my booty on the porcelain.
Oh my goodness gracious! You know, I do think that it needs to be handled as a really true crime, because we don't know what kind of infections and illnesses that these two will endure because of your nasty and evil gesture. And no, you need to pay the price for that one, because this is just a bit much. Thank you so much, Pastor Kale, for joining us. I got some relationship dilemmas that are going on. So the first relationship dilemma. So there's a couple, and they initially started off as husband and wife, but her husband decided to transition into a woman. And once they did that, they had children together. And once that happened, she, for some reason, she was okay when her husband transitioned to a female and became her wife. Oh, Lord. Oh, she said she was taken aback when a friend wished them both Happy Mother's Day. She says she somewhat celebrated. And then after a while, she became jealous. And she said a little voice said to her, or inside of her, you know, he's not, or she's not the mom. I'm the mom, not her. Him, whatever. So she hurry up and got rid of that idea. She said, I thought, you know, I was being a little selfish and, you know, I'm okay. She said when Stephanie began his hormone treatment in 2021, she said that, you know, she was okay. She was working from home, and she became the kid's primary caregiver. And afterwards, she started to hand more responsibility over to the parent, the other parent, the other mom. She said now she feels that, you know, now things are confusing. She's mama. The dad mom is MoMa, M-O-M-A. and she's trying to really find a balance as to how she deals with the kids having two parents and her not being jealous of the father, mother. What should she do? Tamika, you got first dibs at this one, girl.
I'm sitting here, I'm not laughing at the situation. I'm just shaking my head because, you know, you just kind of played Russian roulette with life. You know, we've often talked about when you say yes to something, what are you really fully saying yes to? You know, and so I can't feel sympathy for her. You know, this is part of what you didn't plan for, you know, and you were okay with the change of sex. You know, what else? You know, not just this. There's plenty of other things that could cause problems, you know, and I'm not surprised that this is one of them, you know. And so it's hard for me to feel sympathy for you because, you know, this is something that you said yes to. You opened up the door to this. And how many other things, you know? What if he looks better than you after getting the, you know, after the finalization, you know? Then there's other things, you know, that can play a role. He wears a dress better than you, you know. It's hard for me to feel sympathy for her because I just can't. I honestly.
Brother Al, what are we talking about here? She has this dilemma as to how she, you know, is going to live as mama while the dad mom is Moma, and how she's going to become okay with this and not get jealous.
Well, they need Mo Jesus. They need Mo Jesus. That's where the situation lies. It ain't going to work. She already jealous. Jealous is not going to go away. And you didn't see no signs from the beginning? Like, you know, like, you didn't see no signs from the jump. You know, when you was in there putting on your makeup, he was barring stuff. Baby, could you pass that foundation, please? Thank you. No, the lighter one. Yeah. Okay. And the red lipstick, too. Thank you, baby. You know, you didn't see the signs from the beginning. Now you're confusing the heck out of the children because you're being selfish. You know, yeah, but this is why we need Jesus.
Pastor KL, what's the dilemma here?
Hold on. Let me find it. Okay, so the dilemma for me is, you know, I understand the vows that you death do us part, but somebody got to die. Because you come home and you tell me... You tell me you want to be a man now. Somebody got to die. And we're not doing this thing together. You know, it just does not work. First of all, I'm confused as the husband. I'm confused. And then now you're going to confuse the children. You know, because now, remember, on certain things, children doesn't have a choice. So you saying that I have to accept my father, who I call daddy, and now give him a whole nother name. So I think that's real selfish of the parents because now I'm constantly in turmoil. I got to possibly see a therapy, you know, and these are the reasons that the children are sexually, genderly confused. Because if the hierarchy, if the people who are supposed to be my mentors and my protectors are saying this is okay, then it's just like the picture. If you say that we monkeys, then we monkeys because mama said it. So now if you say daddy's my mama, then I guess that's okay. I think that's selfish.
You know, people think I mean what I say. I don't want to hear about no baby showers. I don't want to hear about no gender reveals. It's just stop. Just stop. Just stop. Just stop the wheels from turning. Some people say, well, how are we going, you know, that ain't God's plan. I just stop the wheels from turning. This here is sickness at its finest. I am in complete agreement with all of you. I think this is the worst thing you can hand a child. It's one thing when we adopt children and we are the same sex couple. But when these children have been born to a biological mother and a biological father, and then one day you now have to, my question is, what y'all been saying when he's been transitioning? That's my question. He just didn't come home one day a woman. This has been a process. She says it several times, and I read you one of the, times, some hormone treatment back in 2021. You know, this was a process after my husband transitioned to female and became my wife. What were you telling the children? So now they wake up, and now they naturally have a mama and a mama. Oh my goodness. I'm with Brother Al. My question is, how are you accepting to this? You didn't think you were marrying a man, and then when he decided to transition, you weren't shocked enough or disgusted enough to kick him to the curb? I'm sorry. No. This is just too much. This is just way too much to hand our children. It's one thing to hand it to an adult. It's a complete separate issue to hand it to a child. And I think you need to be ashamed of yourself. I think these parents, I keep telling y'all, people worrying about, oh, there's pedophiles. How close is the nearest sex offender to us? What happens in the school? Is it culture pedophile? Is the man down the block a pedophile? They can't even get out of their own homes without being destroyed. And we're worried about what happens when they hit the street. Lord have mercy. This is why these kids need God, because they don't stand a chance in their homes. Dilemma number two. It's a little lengthy, so pay attention. My husband had an affair. I found out after seeing a motel charge on our bank account. I asked, and he confessed that it was with an old school sweetheart. I asked how long it was going on. He said 2 years. He then called her and told her I knew. He told me he had told her if I ever found out, it was over for them. Woo! When I got on the phone with her, she said he was lying, and their affair had been going on for 20 years. He invited her to his mom's visitation when she passed. He invited her to other things as well. Now she no longer wants him because he is a liar, and he expects me to go back to the way it was. I don't know if there's time to go through it all. He also had an affair with someone at his work. He said it was a one-nighter. Who knows? I'm having so much trouble with this and all the things they did together. My husband didn't do anything with me. He skipped funerals, weddings, and engagements. I was going everywhere alone. People always asked where he was, and I always had to say working, quote unquote. The way things are, it's not comfortable. He doesn't care. He just wants his way and to not let anyone else in the family know. It's been 2 years and it's still fresh in my mind. I don't know what to do. Counseling hasn't helped. He wants me to forget everything. I'm going crazy. How do you trust after that? Brother Al, how do you trust after that?
Do you not see the writing on the wall? Do you not see the painting? He don't want to be with you with your crazy self. Go about your business. There's no trust. Trust been gone. Hell, it's been gone. He inviting people to his mother's funeral, and oh my God, you right there, like he got no respect for you, lady. Please, leave. Why are you putting yourself through this? You're going to be in the nut house. You're going to kill yourself. He's trying to kill you. Let's say what it is. He's trying to kill you. He's stressing you so much that he's trying to kill you. I hate to hear stories like this because sometimes these women, I'm like, oh, my God, what do you not see? He did the ultimate disrespect. He don't go to parties with you. He don't go to funerals with you. He don't do nothing with you, but he does it with these other women. Like, woman, take the glasses off, clean them, and put them back on and see what you see. Oh, it drives you insane. Leave.
All right. Pastor KL, what are we talking about here?
Well, I'm a little different. I'm a little different. He still want to be with you. He just don't want to be with you outside. You know, there's a difference. You know, I mean, come on. Remember, in my former life, you know, the player has to have a foundation. The foundation is somewhere he can go home to. You know, there's eye candy, and then there's crumb cake. You just happen to be the one that can make the crumb cake at home. You know, but I got to go outside with the eye candy. So, yeah, I think that you should leave him. However, please don't think he don't want you. He wants you. He needs you. You are a necessity. You are a pillar in the ministry. He needs you.
Tamika, what say you?
What kind of foolishness, poppycock stuff is this, you know, that you handed me? So it's one thing for me to hear that, you know, it's been 2 years. That already is a kick in the chest. I happen to have enough brains to say, you know what, let me go the extra mile and do my due diligence and do my research. Come to find out, 2 decades you've been messing with this woman, you know. And so I'm just the package, you know. So I pay the bills. I take care of the children. I make sure we got a nice, neat home, you know. I make it look good for you. But in actuality, you are just all chaos, you know. And then my thing is, it's not so much as this one woman. You got somebody else at work. So you're just not together at all, you know. And now you're telling me, well, let's just make it like it was. No, sir. It will never, ever be the way that it was, because you have opened up the door to what you have never seen. You ever seen, you know, we've talked about a woman scorn. Ooh, your life is going to change in a big, bright way.
So you're staying with him, but you're just going to behave differently. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no. We're getting divorced, but trust and believe,
oh,
every day of your life, you're going to regret your decision.
Okay. She doesn't say, I was looking as to how long they were married, and she doesn't say. But she does say that the woman said 20 years they had been in the relationship. Here's what got me. When the woman said that she had been with him for 20 years, but she didn't want to be with him any longer because he was a liar. So you're telling me that this whole 20 years he didn't been with you, you didn't know he was married, but you now want to leave because he's a liar? He's been a liar. And not only has he been a liar to you, he's been a liar to everybody. He's a liar. So now all of a sudden this makes a difference that he's lying because you got a chance to speak to the wife. You knew when you were dealing with him that he was married and he was lying. So that says nothing for you. You're a creep just as much as he is. You know,
Ding, ding, ding. I have to stop you, Pastor Steph. Because
what?
No. Listen, you can do something. First of all, the family plays a great part in it, too. Because the family will let you bring over another woman and not say nothing. You know, so if the family embraces you like you are the main woman, you don't know I'm married.
I don't believe that.
You don't know I'm in another relationship. You don't know.
I'm telling you, the family plays a big...
Okay. Okay. All right.
I do not believe...
I've been there, done that.
20
been there,
years,
done that.
I don't believe in 20 years. You're a man. A man is not a woman. Trust me when I tell you. A man does not do due diligence the way a woman would. A man ain't necessarily getting on no phone doing no investigating either. It's the woman who's going to get on the phone and talk to this chick and find out that it's been more than 2 years. It ain't been 20 years. I'm not believing that she has been. Listen, this is supposed to be some high school sweetheart. You knew him when he had nobody. You better believe he has changed over the years and has been doing some different stuff over these years. So check this out. So not only did he have a wife, but he had a work chick as well, and you don't know nothing? Now, I got another female on this phone. Women in who's listening, help, tell me whether you believe that she would have been with him for 20 years, and she, I'm not talking about another man. I'm talking about a woman. And I keep telling y'all, you want to know about a woman, you talk to a woman. You want to know about a man, you talk to a man. Now, Tamika, do you believe that in 20 years, he's not only lived, he's been living with a whole wife as well as cheated with a work a chick, and she didn't know nothing? There was no suspecting of anything? Where do you stand in this?
God, I was standing on the sidelines like Double Dutch. Let me in. because in actual, here's the thing. One of the things that women do is, you know, a holiday season, you know, my birthday, I'm trying to think, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, you can't be with me. Every time, you know, you start to be suspect. The other thing is, well, let's go over your place and do such and such and such. Oh, no, I can't do that. In 20 years, I've never been to your home. Automatically, that's a sign to question. The first year, wait a minute. I've asked you a couple of times. Every time there's a celebration, there's a, you know, a family gathering, such and such. No, she knows, and she played the role. You know, she knew her role, and she played it. There is absolutely no question in my mind that she did. 20 years. We're talking about two whole decades. Absolutely no. She knew, and she continued to play the role. And then after a while, she got tired of the lies. He lied to her more than one time. And then at this point, she's like, oh, well, I know. You knew. And even if you didn't have concrete evidence, women are questionable.
That's right.
And you start doubting things in your mind as a woman, then we automatically start doing research. It's just innate in us. Hey,
yep.
Wait a minute. I was trying to hang out with him on such and such a day. Why isn't he available? In 20 years, you know his friends. You know his family. You're going to start asking questions. And so if you didn't,
absolutely,
then that's your fault.
Absolutely. I got another comment. We got, not for 20 years. Men are too slow that they... how does it say? Men are too slow to pull that off. Oh, okay. Men are too slow to pull that off for more than a few years at most. She knew something. That's why it was so easy to just say, I'm not dealing with him anymore because he's a liar. A woman who knew nothing would have been at the wife's door to fight her or to kill him. Yeah. You comparing apples to oranges, Pastor KL. Women are not men. And let me tell you something. I agree with what, and I didn't get a chance to say it because you cut me off. I believe the same thing that these two ladies are saying. First of all, when he couldn't go to nothing, when every time she even put it, I told y'all when I read it, when she put working, she put it in quotes. She knew back then every time he declined an invitation to go somewhere or to be somewhere, she knew good and well he wasn't working. You ain't bringing home that much money to be working whenever we not going nowhere. And when I am going somewhere, you still working. Just for the fact that she put that in quotes automatically shows she didn't believe he was working all those times. A woman's mind immediately goes into investigating. So whether she's looking through pockets, whether she's checking her phone, whether she's calling your friends or doing whatever she's doing in the background, there is no way for 20 years that this chick who was with him did not know he was mad. Just like Tamika said, you ain't never been to his house. Or maybe he got another house, because I didn't see some stories where a man was married. He was married. He would bring the chick home to his home and told the kids to call him uncle. Yo, man, you're trifling. Yes. told the kids to call him uncle. And check this out. When the woman went to the house, she saw all these pictures. He had taken certain pictures down of him and the wife because he couldn't put all the stuff back together when the wife got home. This is all while the wife was at work. Yo, but the woman at the end of the day said she knew something was off. She said she knew something was off, and she said because every time she went to the house, something was off. So in other words, let's say for argument's sake, the one time she went there, he pulled down the pictures in the bedroom and left all the other pictures up. When she went back the next time, the pictures in the bedroom were up, but the pictures on the lantern, on the fireplace was down because there was too much altering. She picked up on something and had to finally ask, what's going on? This, whose house is this really? She started asking questions. It didn't take her 20 years to figure that out. Women are not men. You, Pastor KL, may have done this and may have been completely oblivious, but it ain't going to be no woman. If she knew that man from when he was in high school and she knew him that long, then over 20 years, you watch how a person transitions. And whenever he got married within them 20 years, he started changing. He would have had to change because when she met him, he didn't have nobody. When he got married, he very well had someone. So he can't keep up the same persona and behavior and activity level that he did when they were together without anybody. He didn't have anybody. Then, now you got three women. Now you didn't add it on a second person. Oh, you better believe that activity changed because he had to take the girl at work out. He had to give her money. Nah, I'm sorry. He's a creep.
Okay,
she's a dummy.
So look at it from this angle. Okay, so now you guys got me. I'm going to tend to agree with you on that aspect. But then I will still say, okay, let's say she knew. And she knew all this time and kept on playing the role. The reason why she's leaving is not because he lied. Because she knew. The reason why she's leaving then is because he brought that to my house. As long as I didn't have to see it, I was fine. I'll go with the game. But now she's coming to me. I don't want to be a part of that.
When you cut me off, that's what I was saying. I'm not buying the fact that she left because he's a liar, because he's always been a liar. You're not
right.
Leaving because he's a lot. If you weren't so rude and cut me off in my talking, you would have heard that part. Yo, I was talking. You're like, well, I got to stop you. No, I agree. When I read it to y'all, and I read, because I hadn't read this before. This was my first time reading it. And when I read this, she said that the wife said, oh, she said that, you know, he invited her to other things as well. Now she no longer wants him because he's a liar. Really? Really? That's what you're saying? Nah. You ain't leaving him because he no liar. No, it goes much deeper than that. Oh, my goodness. Well, Relationship Monday has been exciting. Oh, thank you so much, my due time crew, for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Right.
You, everybody. You too. You too.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, it's the top of the hour on a Monday morning. You know how this goes. We have the switch with Shantice. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good. What you got for us today?
Today I have the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly feet. And there's a whole lot going on out in these streets right now that I was completely stuck as to which switch tip to give for this week, which is great because I'd rather that than to be blank, even though God always gives me what he knows I need and he trusts to give to the listeners. Now, switch tip 187 is stop being a fan of the enemy. And for the past few months, but especially this past week, I've been seeing some real disturbing things, not only in the streets, but within the Christian realm, within the church world. And when you think of what a fan is, a fan is someone who is displaying a strong interest or admiration for that person or thing. When you think of a fan, you also think of fanatic. That makes me think of back in, what was it, late 90s, early 2000s. I don't know how many of y'all are a millennial and you remember this. The MTV show Fanatic, and that's when MTV would choose letters that were submitted from fans who spoke about how strongly they love and admire whatever celebrity, and they would choose whatever letter, and they would go to the fan's house and then take them to meet the celebrity that they were in love with. When we think about a fanatic is a person filled with excessive and single-minded passion, especially for an extreme religious or political cause. And of course, we can talk about everything all day. Those of us who are believers, we really need to make sure that we are standing on guard with who we are a fan of, whether it's someone in the secular realm or someone in the Christian realm. And when you think about admiration, admiration is respect and warm approval. And I have been very, very disturbed as to what I've been seeing a lot of quote-unquote believers approving within this Christian world. The pastors that have been on these social media platforms and given their sermon, and people have been posting the sermons, it has been disgusting as to not only what they are saying, but all of the people who are sitting there and listen. I know y'all have been, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, you've been sitting there if you are really in tune with God and the Holy Spirit. And a pastor is saying something, you're like, what? But meanwhile, you hear in the background of the video, yeah, amen, say, preach. And you're like, what are you talking about? You're really a fan of this. You're really admiring this. You're really displaying and showing a strong interest in this buffoonery. Stop being a fan of every pastor. 1 John 4:1 in the Message version reads, my dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. And as I'm reading this right now, right, something just came to mind that didn't come to mind prior to me preparing this switch tip. And I just saw a clip earlier this morning. I didn't turn the audio on, so I don't know what he was saying. And I am not a fan of this particular pastor. But I'm like, how is it that, again, when you understand the responsibilities, the real responsibilities of a pastor, and I used to say this all the time about Trump when he was in office and when he was a president, how do you have time to always be on social media? I just don't understand how, and you know, the times have changed, and I tell my pastor all the time, now Pastor Steph, You do have to increase your social media presence just a tad bit more because of what God has you doing. God has Pastor Steph in media. He has her as being a media personality as well. And even though she should not consume her time and her interest with being on every social media platform, she does have to make sure that she distinguishes a social media presence. But because I know Pastor Steph, I know why she's not on social media as much. It's because she's actually engaging a whole lot into the responsibilities of a pastor. So if I'm always accessible when people call me 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and at any time, by the time I start dozing off the floor, and my phone is ringing, all that, I really don't have time to care all that much about being on social media, putting up a post, making sure the caption is right, and then hashtags go on point and all of that. But meanwhile, all these other people are doing, and it's really concerning. And this first John 4:1 brings me back to the switch tip God gave us just a short few weeks ago, identifying and recognizing Jesus's voice. May you admire the enemy long enough. 2 Corinthians 4:4 in the Amplified Version reads, among them, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So when you are respecting and showing so much approval for the enemy long enough, when you're admiring him long enough, when you're filled with excessive and single-minded passion towards him long enough, you can hear Jesus' voice as well. You won't be able to recognize his voice as much. And now before you know it, you won't be able to determine, or what's the D word? I can't think of it. You won't be able to determine who you're talking to, who's talking to you, what you're looking at, everything now, everything that's tantalizing to your ear, you love, because that's the enemy's job, is to blind you from what God and Jesus is trying to present to you so that he has all of this room to present all of his buffoonery to you. Let Jesus open your eyes. After all, we don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening for yet more mischief. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. We must make sure we are opening our eyes and our minds to God. We cannot discern it. Thank you. Thank you. That was getting on my nerves. Oh, wait. I'm so sorry. I forgot. I skipped the verse, a very important verse. Becoming a fan of the enemy will make you the enemy. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, Amplified Version reads, and no wonder, since Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, so it is no great surprise if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, but their end will correspond with their deeds. So what is God saying when he says that? When you show God that you are admiring the enemy over him, you then become just like your father that you're serving. Remember, Jesus said it out of his own mouth. Please stop thinking that you can now be a fan of all of the music, of all of the false doctrine, of all of the things that are tantalizing to the ear, and yet you won't become just like him. Hello? That's why God is on us to focus on him, because the more we focus on God, the more we become like Jesus. So the more we focus on the enemy, the more you become like the enemy. And just like it says, your end will correspond with your deeds. Meaning when God sits and analyzes everything you did and didn't do, that he told you to do and not to do, you're going to receive your reward, all right? So you need to make sure you're making a switch. Make the conscious decision of making a switch from being a fan of the enemy to making sure that you are in constant connection with Jesus so that you are able to discern what is and what is not of him, so that you can be more like Jesus and less like the enemy. Because despite what these streets try to tell you, there is no in-between. You're either following one or the other. You are becoming more of one than the other. So make sure you're making the switch and you're becoming more of a fan of God and truth and less of a fan of the enemy and what feels good right now. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you. Shanti, quite an emotional morning for you. Thank you so much. We thank you so much for your contribution into today's episode, and we thank you, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you. All right. Let's get this benediction. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. Wow. You know, stop being a fan of the enemy. You know, the Bible tells us to be friends with the world is to be at enmity with him, because he's helping you understand that there's a distinct difference and separation between the two. And once you've established what you want to do, you have already made a decision. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. You know, they want to say, you know, I love God. And one of the things that we talked about this past Sabbath is, you know, the fact that the Bible says, Jesus's words, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it's amazing how the commandments, they're only 10, but it really covers your life. You can fit anything into those commandments. If you really think about it, you know, it's very easy to step on a commandment if you're not thinking about it the way you need to. And I say that at this time because, again, when we're talking about, you know, being a friend of the enemies, when we talk about choosing, you know, a side, we have to be real careful as to how we understand it to be and how God looks at it. There's a very fine line between the way we look at things and the way God sees things. You know, we always want to give ourselves some credit. You know, I ain't all that bad, and, you know, I don't do this. But God, if you look at this word with a magnifying glass, you will really see how God has really just sliced it. It is a double-edged sword. The word of God is a double-edged sword. And it says it divides. And that's the division right there. Once God has spoken, he has already shown you the way he's looking at things. So no matter how we may want to, you know, pat it and make it look nice, and once you know, you know. When you don't know, he winks at you in your time of ignorance. But once you know, you know. And you need to know what expectation God has for you. To much is given, much is required. And that's what I love about God. Because there's a bare expectation. There's a basic expectation. There's a foundational expectation. However, as you go from each person to each person, God understands where you are and what he expects of you as an individual. And I think too many people are just brushing things off. Too many people it's just a passe way of living. You know, oh, well, you know, there's a blasé. You know, I can straddle the fence and, you know, do it sometimes the right way and do it sometimes the wrong way. And God will understand. He knows my heart. And I think that's one of the worst things that we could ever think about is God knows our heart. Because he says that's what he is monitoring. While we're looking at the outside, he's looking at the inside. So let's make sure that, you know, we're doing everything that we're supposed to do. Let's make sure that God cannot flag us for anything that is not, that is unacceptable to him, that we know about. Make sure that when God does flag you, you don't kick and scream. If he points something out to you, just say okay. Because I don't think you really want to fight against God. I don't think we want to try to prove our point to God. When God points something out to us, just fix it. Just get that obedience underway, fix it, so that we can be in right standings with God, so that God can now work on the next thing. Because I always remind people, you know, God corrects us on things that we are going to need correcting on in just enough time to keep us from going through something. So here it is. He flags something in your life because something is coming up on June 1st. Here it is, May 13th. He says, all right, there's enough time for her to get this correct. And now, you know, as of June 1st, when something comes up, she'll be ready. But no, you kicking and screaming, you want to do it your way. So here comes June 1st, and now you smashed. Why? Because you had to do it your way. Whereas God could have definitely taken care of that, helped you along the way, and you it could have been on to something else that you need working on, that you need work on. So I don't know. My thing is, it does hurt sometimes. It does pinch you sometimes when God is trying to straighten you out. But I'm not about to give my life to the enemy. I'm not about to join forces with the enemy. I am not about to big the enemy up. I am not about to enjoy the enemy's side. God has brought me way too far for that. And it's not going to benefit me at all. Not even a little bit. So come on. Just let's get on the Lord's side. And let's stay there. Doesn't mean you won't stumble, doesn't mean you won't fall, but God will honestly assess whether this is a stumble, a bumble, or a fall. All right? All right. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us have this conversation today. Please do not miss this opportunity to give your life to Christ right now. Please do not miss the opportunity to strengthen your relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares. Where is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Until then, I love you.